How would you like your own radio station? It exists. It's the voice of Sacramento.
KUBU 96.5 FM here in Sacramento. I'm Mike Lidskin, and this hour I'm going to bring on my very special guest, Sacramento novelist Kathy Norton. Kathy, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Mike. Thank you.
This is so cool. We're finally meeting up here in the studio. First of all, I've got a novelist on my show. Squee! This is so cool. I usually have musicians, but you're a rock and roll novelist.
Yes, I am.
So this is cool. Let me ask you this question. Is music, does it relate to your life in any in some kind of fashion any way?
It means everything to me. It's right up there with breathing, eating. I won't say sleeping because I only sleep 2 hours a night. So.
Oh, my gosh. That's why you have time to write novels.
The rest exactly. Of us
So you've written a couple novels. We met when we were neighbors, and it's kind of funny. Actually, we met after we stopped being neighbors. I moved to a different part of town, but I got to go to one of your book signings. I thought that was just amazing.
Oh, thanks, Mike. I was really happy to see you there.
Oh, it was so wonderful. So how many books have you written so far?
I've written 4 and published 2.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I have a copy of one of the published ones, What Becomes a Legend Most. So this is the quintessential rock and roll novel.
Yeah. I'm a real big rock and roll fan, so I just had to put my thoughts into this book.
So it's sort of based on musicians that we all know and love. I don't think we want to give away any secrets. I'll let you do any secret giving away you want to do. But it's a really quick read. And I confessed to you before, I'm not a big novel reader. I don't read a lot of novels. I read more nonfiction or just, you know, stuff on the internet. But it took me like less than 3 days to read What Becomes a Legend Most. It was a quick, breezy read.
Yeah, I wrote it that way because I just want to read or write what I think I'd want to read. I like to have a page turner and something exciting and keep it lively.
And this was exciting. There was a lot of dirt in here, to say the least. It was. Why don't you tell me basically what it's about? I mean, I liked it, but what's the basic premise of the novel?
Well, the story is about a young singer, Cassie Hamilton, and she's unfortunately sexually abused as a child, gets kicked out of her home by her mother, goes out to L.A., and goes on the road with a band called The Excessives. From there, it just sort of follows a strange trajectory to her career in rock and roll. As the lead singer of a punk rock band.
Yeah, she started as sort of a groupie type, I guess you could say, and she ended up taking the world by storm.
Exactly. She thought of herself more as like a muse or a person that it was just kind of learning from her mentors, but they thought of her as groupie.
Yeah. And, you know, it makes me think, you know, and it's such a degrading term, but of the women, and I suppose men that are out there that are groupies, there's probably some genius out there. Maybe some of them do have it in them to become, you know, really well-known rock stars themselves.
I think so. Well, you have Pamela DeBar, and she's become an established writer, and yes, she came out of that era. So
that's true. And what was the era that the novel took place in?
It starts out in 1964 when the Beatles arrive in the United States and goes through about 1989.
And you're very big on dates. I like that a lot. It kind of places it, like you say, my birthday, April 1st, 1958, I think, or something like that. So, and so this happened on my 12th birthday. It really was good for a fan of rock and roll. And I've been a fan since I was a little kid too. This kind of places everything in line for me. And I have to tell you, I saw similarities to famous people. I know they're only coincidental, as they always say, but but I think based on the time frame, there were some similarities to well-known acts of the time.
Absolutely. Well, I was really influenced by a lot of the women that were out there in the punk and the post-punk movement, especially Chrissy Hynde and early on Grace Slick.
Yeah.
Just some of the great female voices out there.
And they really were some of the greats. And, you know, to be Grace Slick in 1965 or even Janis Joplin, wow. That, you know, from reading your book, what I get out of it most, it was a man's game, a man's era. And if you're a woman, they're going to squash you. And there's a couple strong women there that, you know, would probably fought all that and were tougher than some of the guys to achieve what they achieved.
I think that's true, especially with Chrissy Hynde. She had to rebuild her band after she lost 2 of her band members to drug overdoses. And a lot of women probably would have, or men for that matter, would have probably quit. But she didn't. She became stronger than ever.
Yeah, she is the quintessential strong rock and roll woman. And I agree. I remember that whole time well. It was shocking enough when one died of a heroin overdose at Pete Farndon, and then mm-hmm. it was like 2 weeks later that James Hyman Scott went also.
Yeah, it was a great loss to that band. Mm. But she and Martin Chambers, they just soldiered on. And
yeah. Did you ever see them live?
Oh, yeah, I saw them live here in Sacramento, and Iggy Pop opened for them.
Whoa.
It was amazing. And then I just saw Chrissy Hynde last year about this time in San Francisco with her own solo band, now not the Pretenders.
What kind of music did she do?
She did a lot of Pretenders, but her stuff off of her new solo album, too.
Did you like the new stuff?
I do. I like everything she does. I just think she's fantastic.
I do, too. I love that, too. I saw them in 1984, and it was during the Back on the Chain Gang era.
Oh,
so
wow.
I remember Martin just lots of liquid floating there. I think he was a very active drummer. Just you could see this. It's kind of striking. You see lots of sweat just flying through the air. And, you know, I was working long hours that day. I was working on a Saturday. And my boss at the time, who was kind of being a jerk to me, just teasing the heck out of me, said, oh, by the way, I heard Chrissy Hynde's sick. She's not going to be at the show tonight. It's like, what?
Oh.
I thought about it for a minute. It's like, well, what's the Pretenders without Chrissy Hynde? And indeed, what are the Pretenders without Chrissy
Hynde? Right, right. Yeah, I can't imagine that. I mean, just their sound is so recognizable, that ching ching sound that
yeah.
every song. I mean, just her voice is just, you know, fantastic.
Yeah, and she was very challenging. Some of the lyrics were challenging and very threatening, you know, threatening to the status quo of that era.
Right. She doesn't back down. I mean, she recently got a lot of controversy on her new biography that's out, and she just lives her life the way she wants to. I admire that about her.
I do, too. And she wasn't she a writer for the New Music Express before that?
Absolutely, she was. A lot of people don't know that, but that was a great start for her, and she got access to a lot of musicians, and so.
So, kids, that's the way you do it. Write about the musicians first, and then become one yourself.
There you go.
But, yeah, great, great singer-songwriter. So, I'll go out on a limb and say that there may have been some elements of Chrissy Hynde in this novel.
Maybe just a few.
yes, indeed. And, of course, she got to marry probably one of our favorite legendary singer-songwriters from the classic era.
Well, they didn't quite get married because they got into a fight at the altar. And so the pastor refused to marry them. So they came very close to it. But that would be Ray Davies of the Kinks.
Yes, yes. And I see a parallel in the novel. Something similar happens.
That's probably very true because I'm such a big Ray Davies fan. So there's threads of Ray Davies running through that novel for sure.
Had to throw him in there some way. Yes, indeed. So are you a musician yourself?
I'm studying guitar right now and very much a beginner, but I am very passionate about it. I'm also studying voice privately.
Nice.
Yeah, and I have a dream of forming a band. I've never lost that dream. I'm still going to do it before I die. It's like my biggest dream. I've wanted to be in a band since I was 8 years old. So
that is so cool. Yeah. That's a dream. I mean, I wanted to be a musician, but I found out you have to actually practice and study. So I'm putting that one off. I always also want to be in radio too. So here we are following our dreams here.
All right.
So how's the progress going on the voice and guitar lessons?
Voice, I think, is going pretty well. I have recitals a couple times a year, so it puts me out there. And with guitar, I'm trying to figure out my F chords, but I have a fantastic guitar teacher, and I think I'm on the right track. Just got to keep practicing.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So when did you get the writing bug? I mean, it's amazing because I know in my whole circle of friends, I know maybe four people who have written novels, and I think only two who've published them so far. So that's a really difficult thing to do.
I started writing when I was in high school. I was a student at Sacramento High School and produced my first book back then.
Wow. So you went to high school right down the street from where we are now?
Absolutely. Yeah, I did.
Wow.
Memories.
Did you get the book published in high school then?
No, I haven't published that one. That's one of the... Actually, I've written five books then. I've never published that first novel.
Wow. Does it take a lot of stamina to write a book? I mean, that's a lot of writing.
Yeah, a lot of stamina, a lot of staying up late. But that's me. That's my MO. I like to be up all night. energy to burn. I never drink coffee. It's just all natural energy. So
that's amazing. We need to hook up a transmission tower to you, and you can just power Sacramento with this energy. Folks, she's just absolutely glowing and just radiating good vibes here, in case you can't see it. But then how did you get the first one published? I mean, that's the barrier that people don't often get past.
Yeah, and I struggled with that for about 20 or more years.
Oh, wow.
I couldn't get anybody to publish what I wrote. I had editors return my stuff and say it's too depressing or it's too controversial. So I decided to start publishing myself as an indie publisher, and that's what I've been doing.
Oh, so you actually release these novels independently?
I do, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
I didn't want to wait around anymore. I could have been waiting around and died before I got anything published.
Yeah. So you're doing a very rock and roll thing, because as you know, in the last 10 years or so, musicians are recording and producing their own music and self-releasing.
Yes, and I totally support that. I think all artists really need to kind of take control of their work, and that's the point I had reached. I was tired of waiting a year to get a response back from an editor. I just said, you know, I've got to take control of my writing and just do my thing. So,
wow. How was the first novel received?
I think it was received pretty well. I think people were surprised when they read it. It's got a lot of sexual content and drug content, and I'm kind of the opposite of that. So
yeah, I was thinking, you know, you're very straight-laced on the outside, but boy, you pulled a story together.
I tried. You know, I just have a very active imagination.
Did you do research to get a lot of this content together?
I did. I was researching a lot about England, of course, but the punk scene, the early 60s music from the British Invasion. I did a lot of my research via music, of course.
Yes. But absolutely. And, you know, there's some things in here that, of course, I knew or assumed, and there's some really ugly stuff in What Becomes Legend most that I'm thinking, oh, man, I don't know if I ever want to meet some of my idols. I hope they're not all as bad as some of the characters you have in here. They can't all be that way.
Oh, I hope not. That's sort of the danger in meeting your idols, I think. You kind of see another side to them that maybe you weren't prepared to handle because you just are so enamored with them.
Yeah, and then there's that other side where there's a character or two or three in here where everybody loves them, but boy, if you marry them or you start sleeping with them, they turn into monsters. And of course, so I might have met one of the main characters and thought, oh, he's a great guy, you know, because we just met superficially. But then there's a lot more underneath the surface lurking there.
Yeah, unfortunately, Cassie has a great knack for hooking up with the wrong men in the music industry.
This is true. But it all works out well in the end. You know, that's as much of a spoiler as I'm going to do for people. How many copies did you have printed?
Oh, wow. I think maybe about 1,000 or so on the first run of that.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very good. And when did that one come out? I met you well after that first one came out.
That one came out April 2014.
Oh, okay. Not that long.
Yeah,
really.
Not too long.
Okay, and then you flipped around and you did your second novel this year then.
I did. I released another novel in May, also very music influenced. All my writing is. I see things in pictures in my head and I insert music into scenes, so that's how I write.
I love it. What's the second novel called?
The second novel is called Double Life, and it's a struggle of a person that is leading a double life between being gay and he's married. And wanting to come out, but can't come out, and hurting everybody. And it's told from a point of view of like, let people just live their life and be who they want to be, because they end up hurting themselves and others in the process, but not doing so.
Exactly. Does it read really breezy and quick like this one? Is that a real page turner as well?
Yes, I've been told that. It's got a bit of the graphics in it and stuff.
Well, you're making a name for yourself, though. I mean, honestly, you're taking people who don't read books like me and turning us into readers. So that's always a good thing if you can bring us in like that.
Well, you know, I'm the same way. I don't read a lot of fiction either. My favorite reads are rock star biographies and things like that. So that's why I like these quick reads.
And maybe that's where some of the research happened, just kind of that all filtered in along the way.
By osmosis, I think.
Yes. I'm chatting with Sacramento author Kathy Norton, who's written a couple of great novels. And why don't we take a quick break? Why don't we play one of the songs that's influenced you? What are we going to listen to and tell us a little bit about it?
Well, I think we'll go ahead and listen to the song that really influenced the whole book, which is What Becomes a Legend Most by Lou Reed.
Okay, let's give it a shot here.
Right.
Thank you. what becomes a legend most when she's alone in a hotel lobby.
KUBU 96.5 FM with the late, great Lou Reed with the title track of Kathy Norton's book, What Becomes a Legend Most. Kathy, what made you pick that as the title of the book?
You know, I had never really listened to a lot of Lou Reed before, and I stumbled upon the New Sensations. It was in cassette tape in 1984.
Wow.
And I played it, and I suddenly felt like the coolest kid on the block.
Well, that's because you were, if you had that in your possession.
I was a shy kid, and I just spent a lot of time in my room playing music and rehearsing in front of the mirror, and I put that on, and it was just like, wow, and it just inspired me so much.
Wow, and that is a great album. I found that, as I was telling you off the air, I found that online after searching for it in record stores from Chicago to Sacramento. Finally found it, like, the second I found an online shop, it's like, oh, there is a German import, and I love the song New Sensations, a long, slow fade in, long, slow fade out, great tale about riding the motorcycle on a fall day like today.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. So I'm here with Kathy Norton, and could you read a little bit of What Becomes a Legend Most for our listeners so they can see why I'm so excited about it?
Oh, sure, absolutely.
Okay.
And this scene right here is basically Kathy has inherited the care of a fashion model who's drug addicted, and Cassie's all of 14 years old, so keep that in mind.
Wow.
Caring for Cleo became a full-time job. After managing to kick cocaine, I once again began doing speed around the clock to help me stay awake and keep an eye on her. I was so afraid of falling asleep and waking to find she had succeeded in killing herself. When she drifted off to sleep at night, I would pull out my song notebook and work on writing songs. After pawning a pair of diamond earrings that Ronnie bought me, I upgraded to an electric guitar and spent time brushing up on chords. No matter how out of reach my dream of forming a band seemed at the time, I refused to give up believing that I'd be famous one day. On April 1st, 1972, my 14th birthday, I couldn't help thinking about my parents and how it had been a year since my mom kicked me out. England seemed so far away from New York, but the memories of the abuse still haunted me no matter how far I traveled from home. My birthday passed without notice. Cleo bombed out of her mind on tranquilizers, slept the whole day while Ronnie in Paris, working on the Excessives' new album, didn't even bother to call to wish me a happy birthday. So instead of calling him and dropping casual hints about it being my birthday, I just let the day pass by and hoped that I would live to see another birthday. Considering the amount of speed I was taking at the time, it's truly a miracle I made it to 14.
Wow. And you know what? A couple things there. First of all, Kathy, that paints a really good picture of what the novel's about. Kind of that was a well-placed clip. Thank you for not reading one of the other clips that would cause us to lose our FCC license.
Absolutely. You're welcome.
It's pretty graphic, but you know what? That paints a picture. 14 years old and she got into all that trouble, that whole mess.
Right. And I had friends of mine at the time. They're like, how can she be that young and on the road? But back in the 60s and 70s, that happened. I mean, there were a lot of young underage girls on the road. Nobody wants to talk about it, but it's true.
Yeah, that is kind of shocking. I had to put that in perspective, too. Mm-hmm. That is an amazing fact. So the Excessives were the band that she fell in with. She formed a band called Legend, so that's sort of a nice tie-in with the title and the Lou Reed song as well.
Correct. Yeah, that was her band, and she just went for it after so many years of being abused and on the road with people, and she just said, this is my shot, and I'm going to take it.
And that only happened somewhere in the middle of the book, so I thought that could have been the happy ending, but no, there's more.
Oh, Mike, I can't let people off the hook that easy.
No. Right, I was only like a day and a half into the book. I can't just like be let off the hook after a day and a half. I need to go for the full 3 days. No, it's an amazing novel, and I was pretty obsessed, so you did that.
Thank you. I mean, I like putting my characters in situations that are full of conflict and seeing what happens to them. It's my little puppet master kind of thing.
Yeah, you know, you really did. It never got better. It just kept, like, just as we were about to breathe a sigh of relief, the next page happened.
Yeah, I had to keep it interesting for myself as I was writing it too, and I just loved like the ups and downs of Cassie's career, which I think a lot of musicians go through that.
Yeah. Now, did you have the whole outline, or at least in your mind, of how this whole thing was going to end, or did it kind of write itself as you went along?
I usually try to map out an outline and character biographies before I start a book, so I kind of know where I'm going, but sometimes it does take a different twist. Things may happen in the news or something I may see that might take me in a different direction. I think some of that happened with this book.
Okay, that's good. So it kind of took you by surprise at times?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a part of the book that deals with like a payola scandal. Cassie kind of gets involved with some bad characters, and that sort of came out of the news at the time when I was writing the book.
Interesting. Yeah, I think most people think of payola as something of the late 50s, but I think by the time this happened, we were probably into the 80s or 90s.
Correct, yeah, and it was a huge blow up, a big scandal, and the ugly side of the music industry, unfortunately.
And you know what? Payola doesn't work that way here in community radio. In fact, I think I pay them to let me play their music. So nobody's getting paid anything here. But it's such an interesting world that we had a peek into. And you wrote the unsavory characters really well as well.
I tried to. I mean, they were characters with flaws. There were good sides to them, but unfortunately in their relationships, romantic relationships, really very just damaged people.
And that's what makes them interesting enough to be in a novel. I think if everybody was normal, you wouldn't really have a book, would you?
No, it'd be a pretty short, boring book, actually.
Like, if there was a book about you and me, I think it'd be like a couple paragraphs.
Oh, no, we're way more exciting than
I hope
that.
So.
Come on.
Well, I hope so, because we're going to be here for another hour. We're going to be spinning music and telling yarns and tales of music. So, yeah, we're interesting. We're just not interesting enough to be in what becomes a legend most. Thank goodness.
Maybe there are parts of us in here. We just don't know it.
We'll find out in the next hour. I'm here with Kathy Norton here in Sacramento, a great local author. I shouldn't say local author. Your books can be read anywhere. Where can my listeners find out more about you and about your work?
Oh, I have a website. It's kathynorton.com. My books are available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, iTunes, Dimple Books, here in Sacramento, Avid Reader at Tower.
Nice.
Even in Venice at Small World Books at Venice Beach.
That's so cool.
I'm a little bit everywhere here and there.
And I need to let the listeners know it's Kathy with an E, K-A-T-H-E-Y, Norton.com. So we're going to spend another hour together, and I'm so excited because you've brought all sorts of music for us to listen to. What are we going to take away from that hour? What's that hour going to represent for us?
Really, it will represent just all of the different music styles that I love, because I just love music with a passion. I'm probably even more passionate about music than writing, so you'll see a full range of what I like.
I love it. So we're going to play stuff off of Kathy's smartphone. We're going to play vinyl. We're going to play CDs. We don't have a cassette player or a wax cylinder player here, so we won't be doing much of that. But I'll have to ask you the deep hardcore question that my listeners want to know, the real dirt on Kathy Norton. What's your favorite food?
Oh, wow. It will be ramen.
Ooh.
I'm a ramen connoisseur. I go all over Sacramento finding the absolute best bowl of ramen.
Ooh. And when I lived in the part of town that you lived in, there were some good ramen places. There were like at least three or four that I liked.
Oh, absolutely. Broadway has the greatest ramen.
Ooh. Broadway is a street in Sacramento where you can eat your way around the world, from ramen to Ethiopian to Mexican to
Indian.
Mm-hmm. Pancakes even.
Oh, yeah. Pancake Circus. Yes.
So that we've got that out of the way. We know Kathy is a big ramen aficionado. She's a big rock and roll aficionado. We'll chat more with her and we'll play. She just brought a whole treasure trove of music for us to listen to here on the second hour of Twirl, the finest music from the rock era. I'm Mike Litzke. We're going to take a short break and then come back to us here at KUBU 96.5 FM and twirlradio.com. See you in just 3 minutes.
This is the voice of Sacramento, community radio for the greater Sacramento area.